If you would turn to Revelation, the fourth chapter, we are going to go from the fourth into the fifth today. Today's title is Heavenly Worship. We're going to start in verse 6 of Revelation 4 and go to Revelation 5:5. Amen?
Amen?
And in the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion, and the second was like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who always was, who is, and is still to come." And we just sang that. That's where that comes from. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor to and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne and the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns down before the throne, say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Again, we sang that too today. And then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And there was writing on the inside and on the outside of the scroll. And it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals of this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and the seven seals." Heaven, like we saw last week, with John giving us a description of God Almighty, His throne room, the elders, the thrones that the elders were sitting upon. And I believe it's not a complete description because in His ability to comprehend and write these things down, He just gives us a sampling, a taste of really what heaven's all about. And He continues on with describing four living creatures. He has described the throne and the rainbows, and we sang about that today. And it's really neat how the Spirit of God is beginning to intertwine our music into these teachings in order to prepare us with words of encouragement, words of exhortation, and words that are so true and real that for us as believers, we can but only stand in awe of God. A-W-E. There is a lot of activity going on in heaven. There is tremendous worship going on. And these elders, when these beings are speaking, actually, in reality, that word "speak" means to sing aloud or praising God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't even believe that we could really fully grasp how pure and holy God is unless we have been with Him in the Spirit. Because most of us would just think that it's just words. But it is real. He is real. And John is trying to describe all these things that are going on. The eyes of these living creatures, it speaks about wisdom. It speaks about insight. It speaks about knowledge. It speaks about seeing everything. And these four creatures, had a face of an eagle, had a face of a man, had a face of an ox, and had a face of a lion. And we're getting into symbolism and typology now. And really, you know, I got some of my reference books out and I started looking at some of these things. And the lion represents courage, tremendous power. It means boldness and majesty. And I began to think about Richard the Lionheart. And really, what was Richard's big deal in ruling England? It was that he was not afraid. His brother tried to take over his throne, and he still was not afraid. He had gone and led the Crusades against the Muslims, and he fought. And he was imprisoned by them. And then he escaped and came back home to regain his throne. It's not a person who's defeated who does these things. This is a person of strong character, a person of tremendous courage, a person who knows who they are and conducts themselves as such. And then an ox speaks of faithfulness through servanthood. And I began to start thinking about oxen, and I've been privileged enough to see oxen pull carts, and these giant carts with these tremendous loads on them, and they team up and they're walking them down. I've been privileged enough to see oxen being used in the fields, pulling behind plows or rakes or things of that nature in order to do farm work and all. And these beasts, they don't complain. They just do what they do, and they do it well, and they continuously do these things. And another one had a face of a man, and this is speaks to me of the likeness of God and his intelligence. You know, he gave only man the ability to think and comprehend and be creative, to reason, to have insights and have visions and dreams and hopes and stuff. We're the only part of creation that he has actually put this into. And for us, we trivialize it, or we make fun of those people who want to accentuate these abilities that God has given to us. And in the church, we should encourage that all the more, because that's where most of the developments that have come through recent years have come through the church. Believers have heard God and done things. And so we need to use our intellect. And an eagle talks about swiftness and sovereignty. It's regality. It's able to soar above and see things, look through things that are unclear, see things, and really, I've only seen eagles in the wild one time, and it was sitting on a limb. I've never seen them soar or anything like that. But eagles are majestic birds of prey. And God is trying to get us to understand that in these creatures, each one of these creatures represents an element of himself. Just like we reflect something of God, so do these creatures. And these creatures had six wings, which was designed to show how powerful these beings are. Not that they themselves would use their power to go against God or anything like that, but just show the immensity of how swift and powerful these beings are. And they were singing their praises day in and day out, or in common vernacular, continuously raising up their praise to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for who he is, for who he was, and for who he has always been. He has not changed in all this. And when they begin to sing this psalm, the elders fall down, put their crowns down before his throne, and they worship him. Now this word fall down means to lay prostrate. It is a position of utter surrender. And we have to understand that for the Christian, it is utter surrender Wherever we are in our lives, whatever we're doing in our lives, God requires us to surrender. We think we have a better plan. We think we have a better idea. And God will allow us to self-destruct. He loves us so much that He will allow our stupidity to kill us so that He can build us into His image. Some of us have come to that realization. Some of us have not. Those who have not, I warn you, it's not an easy road to self-destruction. You think that you're in control. You think that no one sees what you're doing. You think that you can hide your sin, but God sees all. He's not amused by it. He's not impressed by it. And He will allow you to sink to the depths of your own stupidity in order to bring you back to your sanity. And it's quite interesting that Ezekiel, if you would turn to Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel saw these beings. But what I found in looking at Ezekiel, there was something a little bit different of the individuals that he saw and the ones John saw. Let's start in verse 4 and read to verse 14 of chapter 1. He says, "And I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, and an intense cloud with flashings and lightnings and surrounded by brilliant light. And the center of the fire looked like a glowing metal. And in the fire was what I looked at was four living creatures. And in appearance their form was that of a man, but each one had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. And under their wings were four sides that they had of the hands of a man. All four of them had faces with wings, and their wings touched each other. Each one went straight ahead, and they did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each had the four faces of a man, and on the right side had a face of a lion, and on the left side was the face of an ox, and also they had a face of an eagle. And such were their faces, and their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each went straight ahead, wherever the spirit would go, and they would go without turning as they went. The appearance of these living creatures was like burning coals of fire, and like the torches. Fire moved back and forth among these creatures, and it was bright, and lightning was flashing all about. These creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. And as I looked at these living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces." We see that Ezekiel is seeing a being, but it's not really the being that John saw. John saw a being, each with a singular face. Ezekiel saw each one having these four faces. Ezekiel saw them having two sets of wings or four wings, two touching the next being and two covering their bodies. John saw them with six. And if you would turn with me to Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, Ezekiel tells us who these beings are. In chapter 10, in verse 14, and let's start looking at verse 9. "And I looked and I saw beside the cherubim four wheels, one side on each of the cherubim. The wheels sparkled like crystal. And as for their appearance, the four of them looked alike. Each was like a wheel intersecting a wheel. And as they moved, they would go in one of the four directions, and the cherubim faced the wheels and did not turn about as the cherubim went. The cherubim went in wherever direction they had faced without turning as they went. Their entire bodies, including their backs, their hands, their wings, were completely full of eyes, as were the four wheels. And I heard the wheels being called the whirling wheels. Each of the cherubim had four faces, one face that had a cherub, the second had a face of a man, the third a face of a lion, and a fourth the face of an eagle. And then the cherubim rose upward. These were the living creatures I saw by the river Kabor. So we know that these creatures that Ezekiel saw were cherubim, angels. Okay? And the only way I can describe how these guys moved around was if you can use your imagination. There's four of them. Their wings are touching. They're covering over. And they're going like this. Wherever they moved. They didn't turn. They didn't need to. They could see in every direction. They could see everything that was going on. So they didn't need to turn. And you take these individuals that are now in heaven with a single face, each having an attribute of God before them. And I would say to you that these are seraphim. Seraphim. Those who take care of God. Not archangels. Not cherubs. Not cherubim. Seraphim. They are at the disposal of God Almighty and what He once done in His throne room. They do. And they sing out His praises continually. They lead an orchestrated praise service that is loud, it is boisterous, and people are surrendering themselves. The elders surrender themselves totally. And John is overwhelmed. He is amazed by the immensity and the intensity of what is going on in heaven. When we read these words, we look at this like, oh, well, that's in heaven, and when I get there, I'm just going to have to comply. You're practicing right now. How you practice is how you play. Those of us that have played sports understand that that is a truism. If your practice is sloppy, so will your play. If you don't worship God in spirit and truth, guess what? You won't worship God when you're there. Why? Because the way you conduct yourself now is the way you're going to conduct yourself up there. And let me tell you, you will be undone as John is undone. And you will just fall on your face before a holy, living God. There won't be any ability to praise Him. There will be no words. You will be undone by the splendor and beauty and glory and the power and majesty that is there. And He is our Father. And the glory that He shares with us, He has contained within us through Jesus Christ. The power and might that He has given to us in all heaven is now contained in us. But yet we don't believe that. Because if we did, we would be different in how we approach life. We would be different in how we look at life. We would be different in how we share our life with people. Because we still think that we can hold something in reserve as if we have the right to it, and we don't. The elders are exemplifying their complete devotion and submission to God when they fall down and surrender themselves in a prostrate position. Have you ever fallen down and laid down your life before God and say, use it. Use it for whatever way you want, God. Take it. I'm but a worm in your presence, God. Use me. And God says, okay, I will. And then He tells us to do something real simple. And we say, I don't really want to do that, God. Do you show your devotion in that? Or were they just words? You see, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He builds us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we think we're going to escape this. We think that we don't have to worship God. We think that we still have options to play. But the truth of it is when you receive Christ, You ran out of options. And you gave them to Him. And He is so gracious and generous to us that He will allow us to, He will allow us to believe that we're in control. But the fact of the matter is, He's in control. He knows what's going on. He sees all. He knows all. He is everything in our lives. Are we surrendered to His full authority? Are we completely devoted? And I believe most of us are in our ability to comprehend God and what He's asking for us. And that's okay, because He wants to reveal more and more of Himself so that we can surrender more and more of ourselves and be like John. I must decrease as He increases. And I can't answer for you. I can't speak for you, because all of us will stand there and we will see how undone we are. But every thought, every attitude, every word, every action, eventually we're going to see as we go through, it's going to be judged. It's going to be a reality to how we have lived our lives and conducted our lives. And that doesn't mean that God's looking for perfection, but He is looking for us to progress in where we are. He doesn't want us to surrender to the ways of the world. He doesn't want us to give in to the compulsions of our flesh. He doesn't want us to be less than what He has created us to be. You are kings and priests of the Most High God. You have a royal bloodline. And yet you would rather choose to live in your poverty than to line up with God. And this is what's awe-inspiring to John, is the opulence of heaven. Remember the rainbow out of pure emerald? Crystal is the floor. Pure crystal is the floor. Sardius and jasper is a description of God's features. Gold is all over the place. It's common. It's a common thing. We are paupers because we have not listened to God when He said, come up here. And the leaders are understanding this. They're understanding that the perspective of how we have to think is His realm. Think in a higher level. Not less than what we are. Don't be satisfied where you are. Yeah, it's going to take work. You got into this predicament. God's going to help you to get out. But He's not going to do it for you. And all of us have been in predicaments in all our lives. And God's saying, now, you know, it's time for your life to die so I can produce more life. Unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it produces nothing. Our selfishness and self-centeredness will be undone. We will be undressed and be naked before God when we stand before Him. And I don't know about you, but I would rather be in His righteousness. And these angels are screaming out how awesome He is. Worship, true worship is from a heart of gratitude and appreciation. But I find that the people of God are ingrates. They don't appreciate what salvation is. They don't appreciate or understand what He has saved us from. Because if we understood what He has saved us from, we would understand how gracious and good He is. We kind of like walk around in our ignorant arrogance in the presence of God. And we are in the presence of God 24/7. Not just here. And if you cannot freely express your gratitude, if you cannot express your love for God, if you can't demonstratively demonstrate in clapping or singing or laying down, then you're ashamed You're still in bondage. And God has set you free. It doesn't matter what our wives think. It doesn't matter what our husbands think. All that matters is what God thinks. Because when John's in the throne room, it doesn't matter. He's writing down for us to understand how awesome this experience is going to be for us. He's trying to prepare the people of God to understand that this life that we're living right now compares nothing to the awesome glory that we are going to be ushered into when we expire from this life or raptured out of it. And this is what he's trying to get us to understand. Our situations are our situations, but they do not, they don't even compare to the glory of what we are going to experience and have forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever to all eternity. Because we're going to be with Him forever at His invite, not ours. That's why Jesus said, pray that you are found worthy to enter into the kingdom. It's not whether you're saved, it's whether you're worthy. What does your life speak about? What does your life reflect? Well, Pastor, you're really stepping on my toes because, you know, I don't like what you're saying. Tough! If I'm going to make you squirm, I'm going to make you squirm for righteous sake, not because of sin's sake. He is worthy. He has paid with His blood. He has died on a cross for my sin and yours. He has given us the terms of surrender. And we said, yes, Lord, I surrender, Lord. I want what you have for me. And then when we walk out of here, we pretend like we never surrendered. Are we schizophrenic? Is it one person here and one person out there? And John is trying to impress upon us how awesome this is, how awesome this privilege is going to be for those who are the people of God. And we must realize that any power or authority that we have here on earth is delegated by the King. I'm only here because He says He wants me here. He wants to unleash even more power and authority in my life. You know what that means? I must release power and authority in your lives. God said today, He says the church is waiting for permission. You have His permission to do whatever it is to win souls into His kingdom. You have His permission to throw away the sinful attitudes and lifestyles. Then live a holy life. He has empowered you with His own Spirit. You don't need permission to live righteous. You just need to exercise it. And in all this that's going on, John notices something. Finally, he notices something. He sees in the right hand of the Father, there's a scroll. There is this scroll in His hand. And all this activity is going on. There is this powerful angel that finally stands up and makes a proclamation. Who is worthy to take this scroll and open the seals thereof? Who is worthy? And John said he found there was none worthy in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, or those who have died. None was worthy. My Bible tells me every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And some have said, and I've read a lot of the theologians, and they have said that this scroll is the title deed to earth. Okay. Some have said, this scroll contains all the promises that God has given unto man. Okay? And then there was others that said, these are all the covenational benefits from Adam to Jesus Christ that God has promised to impart to mankind. Okay? I believe something different. Why? Because this scroll has writing on the front and back. In the old days, scrolls were rolled up, and if it didn't really have a whole lot of important things, they would tie it. They would tie the parchment up. And some of these scrolls were small, and some were as long as 30 feet long, depending on what was being written on them. The greater the importance, the more seals that were put upon these scrolls. And if it was of utmost importance, they were sealed through the king's ring or some sort of emissary who had power and authority. I believe that it's all of that and more. I believe it's the best gifts that God has wanted to give to mankind throughout the ages. But there's nobody worthy. The way I look at it is kind of like this. I go and I spend some money and I buy the best gift for my daughter and her son-in-law. And we're throwing this party. And I bring this gift. I'm like, man, they are going to love this thing. I don't know. What is it you want? New car. Okay. They're going to love this new car. Daddy will, not this daddy. Your sugar daddy over there will buy it. Okay. I've seen the commercials. They come to your door. They have bows on them. Right? And there's this party that's going on. And this president is getting in there. And it's like, man, when they open this thing up, it's going to knock their socks off. Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to bless them like never before. And they don't show up. They don't even bother telling you they're not coming to the party. And what's going on in heaven is exactly that. There is a party going on. These angels are praising God. They are going crazy. Singing praises of adoration and adornment to God. They're giving Him glory and praise and honor. And there's no one in heaven or in earth that can open this scroll. And there's so much noise that this angel has to shout over all the activity. And we've been at parties where, you know what, when we started, there was only just a few people and it wasn't a whole lot of noise. But then when more and more people came and showed up, the crescendo was getting higher and higher. And then we'd have to use Nolan. Yo, Nolan, would you shout over these guys? That's exactly what's going on here. There is so much adoration and love, and the noise and praises are so great that this powerful angel has to shout above that. Get the picture? He has to shout above people praising God. He's got to shout above you praising God to get your attention. But thank God there was an elder that stood next to John and says, suck it up, boy. What are you crying about? And I can imagine John, there's nobody here to open the seals. There's a present God wants to give us, and there's nobody there. And his elder says, whoa, 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 whoa. Over there. There's the lion from the tribe of Judah. Over there. He's coming in. He acquired a victory. He's going to be, he's the rightful heir to the throne of David. He has the right to take the scroll and open the seals. My Jesus won the victory. My Jesus is going to open up this scroll. And He's going to read it. And He's going to tell us everything that God's got in there for us. What about your Jesus? My Jesus is powerful. My Jesus can conquer everything. He has full authority over hell, death, disease, sicknesses. And when He snatches this scroll, it's the beginning of the end for evil, wicked people. Because He is full authority over time. And it is His plan, or better yet, His Father's plan, to execute for the final demise of evil, wicked people. That should excite you. That should excite you to the point of, you know what, soon we're going to get out of here. Soon. But I need to be about Father's business. I need to tell people how gracious He is, how awesome He is. You need prayer? Let me pray for you. My Bible says they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall pray for them. They shall cast out demons. That's my Jesus who wants to use me. And He wants to use you if you lay the name and claim to Him. But you just don't understand, Pastor. I can't get out of my own way. I understand that. I'm afraid to be used of God. Somebody's going to think worse of me. I don't really care. I don't care what people think of me. I really don't. All I care about is hearing His voice, doing what He says, and watch the results. That day in the Republican Club. That was no joke, was it, Nolan? Gotta lift him up and throw him back. It's kind of like fish. I don't want this one right now. And all I'm doing is demonstrating for you what He wants to do through you. What's in me is in you. The triune God who dwells in me, richly dwells in me, dwells in you. All power and authority of heaven is contained in you. Not only can you do it, God says you should be doing this. And we can't even praise Him. We can't even thank Him. Because we're stuck in our own little box. See, God's not in the box. We're in the box. God's, every time we jump, He lifts us out of the box, we jump back in the box. Jack in the box, yeah. No burgers. But give me some fries and Coke with it. He has purchased us with His blood. He has won the victory for us. He has defeated all our enemies. And He has forgiven all our sins because He has washed us in His blood. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness now. He has taken our unrighteousness and He has given us His righteousness. Now we have transcended from a position of poverty to a position of ultra wealthy. Or actually we use two ultras. Ultra, ultra wealthy. Which is probably not enough to tell you how rich our Father is. Bible tells me He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But He owns the fullness of the earth and there everything therein too. He created the universe. He owns the universe. He has power and authority over everything, seen and unseen. And He told me one day, if my people would pray, I would stop the universe to listen to them. That's how important we are to Him. Stop the universe. He stopped the sun one day to allow Israel to win a victory. Heaven is no joke. Heaven is where we become undone. Heaven is a place where we will reside with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. Heaven is full of joy, peace, love. There's no sickness, no death, no rust, no thief, no poverty. There's no end, no beginning. There's no time. He is the only one that men must put their faith in order to be saved. And part of our salvation that we have is to go and tell others. It is their decision. We don't need to have to worry about what they think of us, because our God is greater than them. And He tells us how precious we are to Him. He didn't make any mistakes when He made you, although we make mistakes along the way. His life dwells in us. And the footsteps that we walk in now are walking in those plans that He has purposed for us in order for us to fulfill part of this plan of ridding this planet, of this world, of evil. We have good news. We don't have a lot of good stuff, but we have good news. All our stuff is kept in heaven for us to enjoy. And if you learn how to walk in obedience, you can begin to appropriate those things from heaven and watch the manifestations happen. For you to bless others, not for you to keep. Everything on this stage of life is for the winning of men's souls into the kingdom. Everything that we say or do is to challenge other believers to be more than what they are, to think in greater realms than they've ever thought before, to do the impossible. Because with God, there's nothing impossible. To live dangerously, as the men have begin to start realizing, is to step out onto the water. Get out of the boat, get out of your comfort zones, and start walking this thing out. If you're happy in your little puddle of mud, I'm not happy for you. It breaks my heart to see God's people settle for less than God's best. But if you want to set up things for heaven, if you want to have an inheritance that Christ says that you're worthy of, then all we need to do is get up and start fulfilling the destiny that He has called for the church. As we're going to see starting next week, these seals are going to start opening up. And it's not going to be fun. But our hope is not in our belongings here. Our hope is in God. Our hope should be that our lives are showing a difference to people who need to know that there is a different way to live. Our lives need to exemplify the power and glory of God Almighty. And that means us taking a risk and saying, hey, can I pray for you? Silver and gold I don't have, but this I do have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Desperate people do desperate things. And when desperation is given to a place where there's no hope, they settle. We are not desperate people. We are living in desperate times. And God has marked for us, the church, part of the church, to do great and wondrous things for His glory. Isn't it about time we could get to work and do those things? God's waiting for us to stop digging these trenches. Allow him to fill them in and start taking the land that he says is ours. It's up to you. But like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and take the land. And you are more than welcome to come with me. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we just praise you and thank you. How awesome and wondrous heaven is going to be, Lord. But God, we can bring heaven to earth. We can use the power and authority that you have delegated to the church, not in presumption, but God, by faith. There are not six steps to laying on hands. All it is just our obedience to hear the Spirit and do what he tells us to do. God, forgive us, God. Forgive us of our insolence. Forgive us of our insensitivity. Forgive us of our arrogance and prideful attitudes, God. Forgive us thinking that we could still do whatever it is that we want to do, God. But ultimately, God, you will allow that to destroy ourselves in order for your plan to go forth. God, forgive us. Holy Spirit, forgive us for just putting you on the side. Forgive us for not listening to you. Forgive us for not repenting when you have pricked our hearts. Forgive us. Help us to move ahead, God. Help us in the prayer that we say, I have your word. I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything. God, this would be our reality. It would not just be empty words, God. God, it would be our reality. That we would help people, lead them to you, God. And help them to come into your household. And make them servants and disciples of the living God. Father, have your way and do what you want to do with streams, God. I just pray that I'm worthy to enter into your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.